All right. Time to break one of those chest-beating, bicep-flexing, macho stereotypes. We tend to think that when it comes to finding a mate, it's generally the bigger, tougher guy who wins over the girl, right? Well, I can speak from personal experience that this isn't always the case. We smaller fellows have to outthink the Arnold Schwarzeneggers of the world. We rely on our brains, not our brawn, when we're out a-courting, and we're not the only animals to do this. Dr. Michael Kosumovic is a Canadian evolutionary biologist at the University of New South Wales in Sydney, Australia. He's been studying the mating strategies of male redback spiders. It turns out the smaller spiders might not be quite as impressive as the bigger guys, but still they know how to get ahead in the game of love. Dr. Kosumovic, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Well, first of all, tell me a bit about redback spiders. What are they like?
Well, redbacks are a pretty interesting little spider species, and they're one of the species that are found all over the world, and these guys are particularly found in Australia and New Zealand. And the interesting thing about these guys is that when males are actually mating with females, they perform this really neat little courtship behavior on the web, where they court females for a long period of time, and up to 5 hours, on an average of 5 hours. And what happens, once they start mating with that female, they actually perform a somersault behavior while they're mating. So what this means is they actually place their abdomen in the female's jaws during the mating, and the female's actually eating them while the male's mating with the female.
Go on.
Yeah, that's the really interesting thing about these guys.
Oh, my God. Are the males and females the same size?
There's a huge size difference in between the males and the females. The males are only about 2.5% of the female's body weight, so pretty insignificant with respect to the size of the female.
Boy, and she's devouring him while he's mating, so that's it for him at the end.
Yeah, that's exactly it. He only gets that one shot, so it's really important for him to try and maximize the paternity he can get from that one mating he has with that one female.
Well, why were you interested in studying this mating strategy?
Well, if you take a look at all the males that are out there, you find that there's quite a lot of diversity in male size. And in most animal systems, what you find is that larger males, like you mentioned, do quite a lot better. They outperform these smaller males. They beat them out in competitions. So I was really interested in asking, why do these small males continue to exist? Why, especially if they're such poor competitors compared to these larger males? So what we did is we performed a series of experiments in the field to take a look at that question, to see how males were competing and where was there any benefit to being small.
Well, how did you do your study?
So in a previous study, what we found was that males actually monitor their environment while they're developing. So what we found is while they're developing, they can determine how many males and how many females are in the environment, and then they alter their development in response. So when there's a lot of females around and not too many males, they actually speed up their development. And that means they can start searching for females more quickly, reach females sooner, and mate with them.
Now, how does that affect their size? You say they speed up their development.
So there's a direct trade-off between development time and size. So when they speed up their development, they're going to be a lot smaller because they're trading off those resources that they would be able to put in towards the development of a larger body size. They put that into developing faster.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So what we found is if these guys are actually trying to develop small, there must be some kind of benefit to being small. So what we did is we took outdoor enclosures and we placed a number of females on one end of the enclosure and took 6 males on the other end, 3 relatively large males and 3 relatively small males. And then we did one of two things. We released males simultaneously and allowed the small males and large males to compete against one another at the same time. On the other hand, in the next treatment, we took the small males and released them one day earlier, which is on average how much more quickly they develop in nature. So what we found is when these small males actually had that one day advantage, they found females more quickly, mated with them more quickly, and maximized their paternity in that manner.
Well, what happened when the large and the small were competing evenly?
Just like you'd think, these larger males were able to outcompete these smaller males. They batted them off the web and they just kept them away from the female. Okay. So these large males are actually stronger in that respect.
Okay, but so you're saying that these smaller males, not only are they smaller, but they get the jump by being a day early?
Yeah, that's all it takes with spiders. The other interesting thing about spiders is that males use pheromones to actually locate females. With this particular species, once males mate with these females stop producing these pheromones, so they can no longer attract other larger males. So these males are actually shutting down this pheromone production from females to prevent other males from finding the females they just mated with. And he'll actually place what we call a sperm plug in the female, which will prevent any other males from successfully mating with that female after he's gone.
A sperm plug? What's that?
So what it is spiders have an interesting structure at the end of their genitalia. First off, they actually have two that are found at the tops of their heads. So, and on these genitalia, they actually look like boxing gloves. And at the end of these boxing gloves, they have a little coiled structure. And on that coiled structure, they have, at the end, is like a little needle. And what these males do is they insert this coiled structure into the female's genital tract, and if they place that needle properly, exactly where it needs to be, it breaks off, and it actually plugs the gap, so no, like a little stopper, so to prevent any other sperm from any other males actually entering the female genital tract.
Boy. So first the male is breaking off part of his apparatus, and then
exactly.
He gets eaten by the female afterwards.
I know, pretty gruesome when you think about it, isn't it?
It's quite a sacrifice for the sake of reproduction.
I know, and they're doing all these different, they have all these different tactics to try and maximize this one opportunity.
Are there disadvantages to this?
Yes, there is. So when there are a number of males all searching for the same female, and they arrive at the female at the same time, there is going to be a benefit of larger size. So when there are more males around, it's better for you to actually take a little bit longer to develop to make sure that you're a little bit bigger than the average size so you can actually compete and outcompete these other rival males when you do reach a female's web.
Oh, I see. So if there's a lot of competition, better to be big, but if there isn't much competition, get out there early and...
That's exactly it, yeah. And especially if there's a lot of females, you really want to get out there quite a lot earlier so you can reach those females first. But if there's only a few females, that means there's going to be a lot of males competing for just a few females, and then it may be better for you to be a little bit bigger.
You were saying that at the beginning you were wondering how can these little guys exist if the big ones are stronger and better at mating. I mean, you've almost turned that upside down. If these little guys have the strategy where they get out mm-hmm. there first and actually plug the female so that she cannot mate again, it makes you wonder why the big guys exist.
That's exactly it. But the big guys exist because they're better competitors than the little guys. It's almost like a little chicken and egg situation we've got here.
No, I guess we should make it clear here that this is not a genetic thing that we're talking about here. These smaller males are not genetically small. They actually made a choice in a way. Is that exactly it?
Yeah, that's absolutely true. So there may be some genetics involved in how much they can change their size, and that's something that we're interested in looking at. But you're absolutely right. It's not a particular gene that's associated with being small or a particular gene that's associated with being large. It's a change in development that they actually chose. You're right.
Were you surprised by this?
Absolutely, yeah, because you wouldn't expect this to happen. You would expect large males should always win, just like we've always thought.
Dr. Kosumovic, thank you very much.
It was an absolute pleasure. Thank you.
Dr. Michael Kosumovic is a Canadian postdoctoral fellow at the University of New South Wales in Sydney, Australia. Coming up, zoos truncate elephant lives.